Blog Talk Radio.
Happy hump day, everybody. It's time for the party show.
Hump day? Really? Football, that this trade would never happen, and then lo and behold, look, in real life, you have an actual trade that people are like, how is that possible? And if you're a Trump fan, you're thinking, well, what the hell? Why didn't we get involved in this mess?
Man, it's just the Giants turned into 2014.
I mean, this is your draft. This is your draft.
Yeah, are you thinking of their number one draft pick?
Is that this year's draft to give it up for?
Yeah, this up and coming draft.
Okay, then all right, then that makes sense. Then I completely forgot about that. What trade was this involved in? You remember offhand? I don't remember. I think it was, but I don't remember.
You know, is the Giants were trying to make that type of deal? They're below picks.
That's what you assume. I mean, the way the season started.
No, I'm not saying that the Colts. You know, the Colts can just as easily be 13-3 this year.
Exactly. I mean, that's the other thing too. It's not like the Colts are bad. It's just a weird.
It's a very weird move, and of all the people who are really upset about this the most are the fantasy gurus and the fantasy.
we'll get into that later. But in all honesty, though, it's like. If you're training with Indianapolis, you're almost guaranteeing you're going to get a low pick. I mean, at worst, it's going to be somewhere between 17 and 25. You know, at worst. I mean, you know, I don't think Indianapolis is going to win a Super Bowl this year, but they're probably going to be a contender.
I think there's something more to this story, maybe with the team and Richardson.
Richardson was saying he wanted to have a bigger role in the offense, but, I mean, is that why you get rid of someone? Because they want to have a bigger role? I mean, when you've been bad as long as Cleveland has been bad, you figure you want a guy who wants to be there, who wants to have a bigger role. But you're right. Sometimes a situation like this, there's more to the story than we know. And I can imagine that Richardson is that much of a pain for Cleveland wanting to get rid of him after, like, a year and 2 games.
I totally get you, and I totally understand. Right now, I'm hopping on Twitter to see some of the reaction that's going on, because this is a big move for a lot of people. Yahoo Sports just tweeted, with Richardson and other picks, Cleveland will employ some sort of RBBC, except Willis McGahee to head it up, getting physical right now. So that means Willis, so McGahee is signing with Cleveland. That's what's coming out of that. So,
is it possible that because the Giants didn't sign McGahee that this trade might have happened? Because you think Cleveland would have been willing to draft take over Brandon Jacobs for the year?
Right. Well, here's one better. Michael Shoddy just tweeted, Trent Richardson's former Browns teammates are pissed in capital letters. One response to me was, what the F? Theirs wasn't edited. So, the response to this was very, very shocked. This was one of shock. Just looking for some more reaction here. As I'm looking for this, you know, it's just a shame that it seems like he was a guy who was all about Mark Slinger, a trading strategy. It's kind of like putting his punting on first down.
I totally agree. It kills this franchise. But you know what? They made all those trades last year in the draft to get all these picks. I'm wondering if they're just truly starting over from scratch. I'm checking the Cleveland Brown roster on ESPN right now, and he's still on the roster, but obviously this will be updated later. And I'm trying to look at the rest of this team and see who else of any value is here. I mean, there's not much else, you know, other than Jordan Cameron, who's been sort of a pleasant surprise. The defense is fine. The defense is not an issue here. But, you know, giving away your best offensive option for something of an unknown, because we don't know what that pick is going to be, is really just shocking. And it is telling that, you know, the guy that, you know, the person who took over the team last year from the previous ownership, they just want to start from scratch all over again. I mean, if you're the head coach in Cleveland, you know, how good can you feel about this?
Here's another reaction I think one you'll find interesting. Michael Smith from ESPN, Numbers Enough, Don't Lie. Browns didn't have to trade Richardson in order to acquire that franchise quarterback. Feels like, for whatever reason, they want to get rid of him. I think maybe there's something more going on that we just don't know.
Well, you know what? The guy's only in his second year. I mean, if you can't work it out, you know, that's just more about the ownership group there, the front office group there, than anything else. Because to me, that makes no sense. Listen. you can work out these problems now. This is when you want to work them out. This is not like a guy who's been around for 6-7 years and it's constantly being an issue. He just got into the league. I mean, let's try to work it out. I mean, the only people that get really boned by this deal when push comes to shove are the fans of Cleveland. That's who really suffers from this.
Well, but look at the situation they have going on now with Tampa. Now there's a lot of coaches about the players are not liking Greg Schiano. Now, if you remember, that was labeled as a very quote-unquote lazy team, a team that didn't have a lot of discipline. So, Greg Schiano comes down there, throws some rules and discipline into the team, and all of a sudden, of course, they're not really that big fan.
Well, no one said anything about it last year. Look who's complaining this year is Darrell Revis. Revis seems to be the one that's complaining about it, although he went on Twitter last night saying that everything was cool. But even Doug Martin has said that there was an issue. And listen, I know Greg Schiano got there with a quarterback, and he doesn't like Scott Freeman for whatever reason. As you know, most coaches, they want their guy. That's all fine and dandy. But I'll tell you right now, if you put Josh Freeman on Minnesota, let's just hypothetically say, you put Josh Freeman on Minnesota instead of having Christian Ponder there, how much better does Minnesota look?
Maybe a little bit better. No,
I think a lot better. You think a little? I think a lot better. I don't even think it's even remotely like close how much better it would be. I honestly think that you can definitely guarantee Minnesota wins at least 10 games a year. Josh Freeman as a quarterback with the receiving core they have, Adrian Peterson as the running back. I mean, come on, that would be a lethal combination there. I think you're underselling how good Josh Freeman. I think Josh Freeman is a very good quarterback. I don't think Tampa Bay is using him properly, to be honest with you.
So this is obviously just a breaking story, and we're going to probably get more news as it goes on. It's just pretty weird that this move was made now.
Any trade that happens that involves a player in the NFL is always a weird thing because it's never a player. It's always a pick for a pick. So this is definitely a weird situation. Real fast, before we get into our actual area that we'd like to talk about in the show, Broncos Pro Bowler Ryan Clady was put on IR. He suffered that injury in the Giant game last week. So that's a big loss for Denver. You know, he's one of their top linemen, and that's a real big loss. Golston won his appeal, but he's still fined $100,000. So he won't be missing any game time, but he's put on notice. You know, that guy likes to hurt people. I mean, he is the Ronnie Harrison of this era. I mean, he just likes to hurt people. I mean, I don't know if the guy's dirty or not, but, I mean, when you're in that situation where you have to appeal being suspended for hits, you know, that's saying something. Otherwise, not really much else going on.
We're going to break down a couple different stories.
So nothing of really big importance. Now it becomes more important, though. Brian Hoyer will be starting a quarterback for Cleveland this week. They're going there, Brian Hoyer. I hope you know who to hand it off to, because we have no idea who you're giving the ball to.
Willis McKay, he's tried out for the Giants last week. He just signed with Cleveland. That's a guy from Denver.
We know why the Giants took Jacobs. We all know what that was about. So,
yeah,
we all agree that McGahee probably would have been the better option. But it's neither here nor there. You know what? This is actually somewhat important, too, though. Actually, this is kind of ironic. Colts tight end Dwayne Allen is out for the year as well. So I wonder if this just received even a bigger need to have a trade for the running back. So, you know, a lot of weird stuff going on today. You know, like, it's just very, very weird. Yeah, again, when people get traded in the NFL, it's never a player. Players almost never involved in trades. You know, it's picks for picks, so when a player actually gets traded for a pick, it's somewhat of a big deal. But, all right. Where do you want to go to next, Randy?
There is so much going on still also. You know, the NHL season is around the corner. Let's take the NFL first. I think it's appropriate for us to be there. I'm going to name a couple teams, too. I want you to get your rapid reaction to what you think of them so far this year from what you see. Let's start off with the New England Patriots. They played the Jets this past week. They sort of got out of there with a skin of their teeth. I know sometimes it's always easier to say that they get out of there with a skin of their teeth, but it didn't seem like they actually had to control the game.
No. In one word, I would say trouble for New England. I know they're 2-0, but they might be the worst 2-0 team. There might be teams that haven't won a game yet that probably look better than New England has right now at this point. I know people are saying, you know, listen, Brady's still got to get these receivers. He hasn't had Gronkowski. Damian Amendola's been out. But I would still be worried. Listen, again, this is the only stat line you need to know about that game, and this is the one that troubles me the most. Julian Edelman caught 13 passes for 78 yards. If you're a running back, that is a great stat line. If you're a receiver, not so much. That worries me. That is something that's telling me they're not able to get the ball down the field. They're using little thinking bunk passes. They can't get any breakouts. I'm really worried about the New England offense right now as a chance.
I don't believe that. Obviously, Belichick is worried. I think Belichick is perfectly fine. I think that the New England Patriots are always going to be in the hunt, in the mix. I'll tell you who really looked good to me this past week was Miami against Indianapolis. Miami played very, very well. I think that's the team that's really going to give New England a run for their money this year. That just there is a team that can give New England a run for their money. It will be the Miami Dolphins. New England has to get more help from the wide receivers and the tight end. They have to improve their passing game a little bit. It's just very, very difficult right now with all their injuries. And then, plus, there's really nobody out there. And when you know, the Hernandez situation aside.
But Brandon Lloyd doesn't even want to come back. He's shooting a zombie movie right now. I mean, that would be the perfect fit for them. You know, maybe New England should call the Giants about one of their receivers. Maybe they should get a straight go.
can I ask you a question? And this is maybe stupid to even bring up because of their age. Would it be a really bad thing for the Patriots to possibly look at like guy like Terrell Owens or possibly Chad Johnson?
I don't think they want to go that route. I think they already, you know, they had the issue with Chad Johnson. I think it just came to fruition that Chad Johnson is stupid and he couldn't figure out an NFL playbook. You don't want to go that route. I mean, everywhere that Terrell Owens goes is a problem.
It's a good question. It's a good question. By the way, you know what I didn't get to announce today? If you want to join in the conversation, 760-283-0846. We're on Facebook, Real Sports Talk Radio, as well Twitter, hashtag Real Sports Talk Radio, @RadioJose15, @RadioESP. We're all over the place. Try to find us if you can. It's a good thing to do. Anyways, sorry. The other part of that also is, you look at the Patriots, you know, they had the two tight end formation with having Gronkowski and Aaron Hernandez. You know, the great quarterbacks can find a way to make good receivers out of anybody.
I knew you were going to go there with this. Stop praising Eli, all right?
I'm praising the guy who has 10 interceptions in 2 games.
7, get your facts right.
You were going to go that way.
I was waiting for the, you know, Eli makes salad out of crap with, you know, look at all the receivers that he always works well with no matter what. And you look, you're right. You would be right to say that. I'm not saying that. That's probably what you're going to say, although you probably were going to say it. but you're right. And
you're
Peyton Manning is angry. Well, you know, because I just, I you need to stop your man crush on the Mannings.
It's not really a man crush on the Mannings. Apparently, Aaron Rodgers can make a receiver out of anybody. Would you rather have missed that?
I want to smack you. You're hinting at having Rodgers. No, I'm angry because your hinting at Aaron Rodgers is completely unfounded. It's just completely ridiculous. But that's another spot. That's another topic. We're skating right over top of it.
We said the New England Patriots. Okay. What about the Pittsburgh Steelers?
They are in trouble. Listen, that is an issue where the offense does not care for Todd Haley. They need to get rid of him. Oh, my God. And I'm telling you right now, if not, I mean, there was an altercation between Brown and Haley during the game. There was no footage of it, but apparently it was really bad. The people who at the game saw it. We all know Big Ben doesn't really care for Tom Haley's offense. I don't know what they're going to do there, but it's not pretty right now in Pittsburgh. I mean, like, the only situation that might be worse right now is the Giants situation with their all their turnovers and whatnot, but I mean, there's no talk of anyone trying to kill one of the coaches. I mean, Pittsburgh players are literally trying to, like, they're doing straws to see who punches Haley first. I see the impression I get anyway. I mean, I don't know, but.
I also don't think they have the same type of talent they've had in years past. You know, they lost Wallace. They've lost some other pieces. Right now, Heath Miller is not available. So they're struggling a bit. If you ask me right now if I think the Pittsburgh Steelers are making the playoffs.
Are you serious?
No, if you're asking me,
yeah.
The answer's no.
Oh, they're not? Oh, okay. I thought you said they were.
I'm telling you right now, I don't think they're in the playoffs. Here's an interesting game this week. That's going to, you know, raise my eye. The Kansas City Chiefs are visiting the Philadelphia Eagles. Andy Reid's return.
Isn't that the Thursday night game?
That is the Thursday night game this week. Kansas City is obviously playing better. It's funny, with a player like Jamal Charles, Alex Smith is your team's leading rusher. But still, they're playing well. Philly has a good offense, but I think their defense is really watch
their defense is horrendous. They're killing me in fantasy football this week. It is garbage.
I think you could have played on San Diego and gone up and down the field with against the Philadelphia Eagles. I'll start with, I guess we can go over both teams here, but let's start with Kansas City. What have you seen out of Kansas City so far?
I don't know how they're doing it. Obviously they got a good defense. You know, they have Andy Reid's there. Andy Reid's obviously worth a couple of wins, you know, for obvious reasons. I don't know. I can't put my finger on it. Maybe they just needed a new voice in there. That's probably what it came down to. You know, just a new voice. You know, right now in Philadelphia, they have a new voice as well, and Chip Kelly, I mean, we've heard about this crazy offense. Listen, I've seen it in Oregon. It works in Oregon. I don't know if this kind of offense works in the NFL, though. And all of them was saying that they were going to run a million plays. Just so everyone was aware, that first week of the season when Philadelphia ran for 77 plays, by the way, New England ran 89 plays their first week of the season. Just so we're aware of this. So let's not go all crazy. Now, I understand they're still installing, like, most of the playbook. I think they only got, like, 60% of it in. But still, I mean, you had all something to get this in. But this is obviously an intriguing game because Andy Reid's coming back to Philadelphia. You know, so that's a big thing lending itself. You know, one team is 2-0, the other team is 1-1, but really not looking all that great being 1-1.
Does that mean anything, though, that him going back to Philadelphia?
You know what? They can all say it doesn't, but I think it does. I think, well, for the fans, it obviously means something. And I think for some of the players, I think it's going to mean something. I think for Kansas City, they want to show everyone out there that they're for real. And I think they want to especially take it to Philadelphia and knowing, like, hey, you know, we got the coach and we're dominating. And I think for Philadelphia, they want to say, hey, all you guys, this is Chris Kelly's our leader. You know, we're going to dominate the NFL. Problem with Philadelphia is that defense is horrendous. And unfortunately, the only defense that might be worse than theirs is Minnesota, and I have both of them in my fantasy. So, problem A, problem B for me. But I expect this game to be a very high-scoring affair, obviously, because every game that Philadelphia has been involved in this year has involved over 60 points each game. So, if I had to pick this game, I don't know what the line is, unfortunately. If I had to pick this game, though, I would probably pick Kansas City, because I still don't think Philadelphia is ready defensively to hang with any team that has any semblance of an offense. So, I'm going to take Kansas City. I'm definitely taking the over. Whatever the over is in this game, it's not nearly high enough. So, I'm taking the over on that as well.
I'm going to give you my take on both teams here. Kansas City, anything that Kansas City got from last year was an upgrade, whether it was a coach or certain positions.
And remember, they have 6 Pro Bowl players.
Right. I understand that too, but also I have to look at one very, very, very important thing too. They also filled in a lot of caps in some positions that were really not really named. I thought the tight end pickup of Fasano was a nice pickup for them.
I picked up Alex Smith too, which is like probably the biggest move they did.
Honestly, I
don't want to.
I don't know if you want the Alex Smith situation. I thought he ended up getting a raw deal last year in San Francisco.
I don't like Alex Smith. Waste of a first-round pick. By the way, you could have had Aaron Rodgers if you're in San Francisco. Just want to bring that in again, Andy, because I know how much you love Aaron Rodgers.
Aaron Rodgers. Name sounds familiar. So, when Philadelphia, you know, I got to watch their game last week. I preferred watching their game before the, you know, since the Jets played on Thursday, we needed to have a game to watch early in the afternoon. I watched San Diego and Philly. I'll tell you something about Philly. It looks like Michael Vick has turned more into a leader with this group.
I don't see it, but okay.
Veteran guy actually looked good doing what he was doing. And my big issue with Philadelphia is, like you said before, they can't stop. They couldn't stop a, you know, they couldn't stop anything.
Couldn't stop a nosebleed.
I was trying to find a better analogy, but thank you. I'll go with it.
I mean, it was completely horrendous to view. But, I mean, listen, that first thing against Washington, in that first half, they were great defensively, but Washington was just being ridiculous with the ball. Ever since then, though, Philadelphia hasn't stopped anything. And unless they turn you over, just scoring on them. There's almost no way you're not scoring on them. If you don't turn the ball over on them, you're guaranteed at least a field goal, but... Listen, I'm so heartbroken by this heart-wrenching defense that I can't get out the words out, but still, they're just not good defensively at all. I mean, they're horrible.
Well, you want to hear something even scarier? Cleveland's 0-2, and they're dismantling their team, so I could be a lot worse.
Well.
All right. Speak around. I'm going to name some teams. You just say playoffs or no?
All right.
Contention or not? All right. You want to go NFC or NFC?
You choose, brother. You choose.
All right, let's go NFC, and let's start in the East. Let's go New York Jets.
No.
Buffalo Bills.
No.
Miami Dolphins.
Right now, I'm leaning towards yes.
New England Patriots.
Yes.
Okay, let's go to the North. Pittsburgh Steelers.
No.
Cleveland Browns.
No.
Baltimore Ravens.
No.
Cincinnati Bengals.
Yes.
Someone's going to win the division. Let's go to the AFC South. Jacksonville.
Next.
Indianapolis.
Yes.
Tennessee.
No.
Houston.
Yes.
West. Okay. San Diego.
No.
Oakland.
No.
Kansas City.
No.
Denver.
Yes. And Kansas City, I mockingly said no, but they have a shot. They're going to probably be the team that's on the outside looking in my honest opinion. It's either going to be them or Indianapolis, as far as that last playoff spot goes. Because I actually have Miami making it with New England, Cincinnati, Indianapolis and Houston, and then Denver. But honestly, actually, you could include Miami in that discussion as well. So one of those teams is going to be on the outside looking in.
I have New England in, Miami in, Cincinnati in, Houston in, Indianapolis in, and Denver in.
Oh, so we agree.
Pretty much.
So you agree? Do you agree with my assessment that, you know, Miami and Kansas City and Indianapolis will pretty much be knocking it out?
Yeah.
Now, you want to do NFC real fast? Or?
Let's start with the NFC West, San Francisco.
Yes.
Arizona.
No.
St. Louis.
No.
Seattle.
Yes.
Carolina.
Nope.
Tampa.
No.
Atlanta.
No.
Really?
No.
Okay. New Orleans.
Yes.
Minnesota.
No.
Green Bay.
Yes.
Detroit.
Yes.
Chicago.
No.
Okay. Giants.
No.
Okay. Washington.
No.
Philly.
No.
Dallas.
Unfortunately, yes.
Okay. I have San Fran, Seattle, New Orleans, and Atlanta. You know, for the last couple of years, it's just been Green Bay for that division. You know what I mean?
And it's going to still be Green Bay for that division.
I don't know. Chicago's looked pretty good their first 2 weeks. I'm going to go, you know what? I'm going to give, I guess you have to give Green Bay the benefit of the doubt until they're proven that they can't do it. So I'll go Green Bay. And I'm still going to, I'm not ruling out the Giants yet because I still think they have the most complete team in that division. Dallas, it just seems like every single time Dallas is picked to do well, they falter. And every single time we pick them to be last in the division, they find a way to be first.
They're the only team in this division right now that's showing me that they at least have a semblance of how to play both offense and defense. Real fast, this is why I say Detroit over Chicago. I like Chicago, and I think they're going to be that team that's on the outside looking in. But I think Detroit has a tougher defense and just a better offensive scheme going on for them. Now, I'm not telling you Detroit's going to ride on this hot streak and win a Super Bowl, but I just like the offensive players that Detroit has. Now, granted, this is anything can change with injuries. And Chicago looks really good right now, but I'm just not convinced that they're going to keep this up for the whole year. Atlanta, I don't like their secondary. Their secondary is a joke. I'm not in love with it. You know, New Orleans, I hate New Orleans. I don't really care about them, but I think of all the teams in this division, they're probably the one team that, you know, has everything at least put together. So, and then whoever wins the NFC West is going to be the number one seed in the NFC anyway. So, if you're in the NFC, you do not, you were hoping to play, and it's not Seattle. I don't think anyone wants to go to Seattle to play any road games in the playoffs.
I'm, you're going to think that I'm crazy for saying this, which you already do, so that's okay. I'm a firm believer that San Francisco will get in. I think they have a very, very, I think they might have the most complete team in the league. I don't know how you feel about that. I love Seattle's defense. They played very, very well. Chicago, like you just said, played very well. I don't know. I'm sort of indifferent about what's going on right now with...
It's some ways too early to be discussing this.
With Atlanta and, you know, it's just... like you just said, their secondary is not good. You and Europe played very well this past week.
Yes, he played the run. He's getting paid on the dress right now. We did that over here.
Yeah, it's true. By the way, I won fantasy football. I won my second league this week.
Shut up.
So, with all of that being said, we're bringing it down and being honest here. Let's take a caller. Real Sports Talk Radio, you're on there with Randy Zay. Who's this?
Oh, it's Robert.
Hey, Robert, how are you?
Good, how about you guys?
Doing okay. What's up? What do you want to talk about?
I just wanted to touch up on the Bears. The Chicago Bears, that's what we're talking about, right?
Yeah, well, we're talking about the Bears. I think they look a lot better. The coaching change. Jay Cutler, this is the year that Jay Cutler has to prove if he's really the guy who can lead the Bears to a championship. What's your opinion?
I think they could. I think that, honestly, they're still, I agree. The secondary first week did not play up to its standards, and the defense hasn't been playing up to its standards the first two games. But, I mean, we still got the wins. The offense have showed a great improvement. Marcellus Bennett was a great signing this year. Brandon Marshall is always is the same. And Jay Cutler, the trustman, he's been managing games pretty good and way better than last year. I mean, he had two interceptions last week, but one of them was, if you guys saw it, it was a tip pass in the end zone, which really wasn't his fault, but okay. And the second one, and the other one was miscommunication with Marshall, Brandon Marshall said. I think they could pull it off this year. The line's been protecting Cutler better than last year. I think they gave up one sack the first two games. And those are pretty against two pretty good defensive lines, especially the Bengals. I mean, I think they can pull it out.
I agree with everything you said there, and that's totally accurate, and you're spot on. But here's my question to you. When push comes to shove, do you think Chicago can take on Green Bay, or even not Detroit in this instance? Because Detroit has had a lot of offensive pieces this year. Do you feel confident about Chicago taking on any of those teams?
And I see what you're saying. And, I mean, When it's Green Bay and Chicago, it's shaky, and I think that's going to be theirs. They play the Lions before they play Green Bay, and the Lions are going to be a good team, like you said. And I mean, it depends. If we can handle the Lions, then I mean, I will go into Green Bay feeling a little bit more confident. But Green Bay is a tough team, like you said, and I don't think we're there yet. But I think it'll be a better game than what people will probably think.
you look at Chicago too, their biggest problem over the last couple of years has been injuries coming up at crucial times, with Matt Forte going down at times. Brandon Marshall towards the end of last year seemed a little disinterested. I think that's the right way of saying that. And, of course, the playoff game a couple of years ago with Jay Cutler having this, having an injury and having to sit. As a Bear fan, what do you see the record being at the end of the year? And do you see that they can be a better team than Green Bay or Detroit?
This year, I say they'll probably go between 11-5. I think 11-5, 10-6. And I,
wow.
I feel like, I feel like they're going to be up there.
All right, so you have confidence that they're going to go 11-5. So, is this a wild card team or is this a division winner?
Division winner. I don't think the division. The division's good, but the division isn't. There's not going to be clear cut winner like someone blowing it out.
Okay, now they beat Cincinnati and beat Minnesota. I'm going to go down the schedule with him real quick. Just and you say winner loss, and I'll tell you if we agree or not. All right, you ready?
I can't hear you. You're breaking up there.
Okay, I said okay, go through some games real quick. I'm going to give you the next four games, the next five games. You tell me if they're wins or losses before their bye week, okay? Because they're 2-0 right now. Pittsburgh.
Win.
Detroit.
I take that back. I feel like before our bye week, before we play Green Bay, I feel like they could pull out the undefeated at the bye week.
Wow.
I'm looking at the schedule right now, and the Saints. The biggest game I think they're going to have is the Saints, their toughest game. Detroit, their defense isn't fully up there.
I don't know. They play the Giants. They play the Saints.
Well, the way the Giants are playing right now, that's not.
the way the Giants are playing.
Yeah,
right
that's what I'm saying. Giants are
2 points on them. Okay, so you picture them going 7-0 before their bye week.
Yeah, I see that. I see that 7-0. And I mean, their schedule isn't as tough this year. So. Let's be real. The NFC East is in the tough division.
Yeah, that's fair.
I can't argue that.
That's fair.
I can't argue. Well, listen, thanks for the call. We appreciate it. Keep listening and keep listening because we're actually going to have a little giveaway a little bit later on tonight. So you definitely want to be involved with that. So
can you guys is there a way? Because I'm starting to broadcast to a couple of buddies. Is there any way I follow you guys on Twitter? If I shout you guys out, can you guys follow me back?
Sure, that's fine, man. Go for it.
All right, I'll follow you guys and I'll just send you guys a little thing. Appreciate it.
That's Randy BSP, and we got Angry Jose 15. Thanks for listening, brother.
All right, thank you.
That's nice when they want to follow us.
Yeah.
You probably have to do this. I don't even know. And most of the people that follow me, I have no idea why they're following me. I think only like two or three of them are actually sport related. The rest of them, I have no idea why they're following me.
Spam followers.
Yeah, pretty much. So thanks for the shout out. I'll definitely look for that. I'll have Randy take a look at it because Randy's more Twitter friendly than I am. As if you listen to the show enough, you know I hate Twitter. But I try my best to keep up with.
You've gotten better.
I like reading Twitter for this. I've actually cleaned out a lot of my Twitter so I can read the actual sport news. I try to get rid of it. Like anyone who's putting that fashion BS or that nonsense, I start getting rid of them. I actually got rid of like Stephen A. Smith and a couple of other people like that because I just don't want to get into the whole nonsense. I just want the sporting news. I don't want anything else going on with that.
I think I was out of COVID 9, 9, 7, 10, 6 with them.
But you know what? I can see his point. I can definitely see his point about them going 7-0, but, you know, before the bye week. I definitely see that. But, I mean, is it impossible? No, not at all. It definitely could happen, but I don't see it. I think Detroit might beat them right off the bat. But we'll see. You know, hey, you know, it's his team. You know, he obviously knows it better than we do.
Yeah, I still watching Bears football on Sunday has not been I want to say pride is the wrong word, but not an opportunity I get to have.
Real fast though, and I don't want to change the conversation too quickly, but it is football related. But because I think this is a monumental event that I'm about to bring up here to people. As you know, Randy does not really follow college sports.
No, but I promise you we would talk about this. And I,
but just to tease on this, though, we are going to talk about this later. Randy watched the college football game this weekend, and I was shocked because I actually had to catch the replay of the game. Well, most of it, I really wasn't watching it, but I was kind of watching because it's hard to watch a game when, you know, you have a score. But Randy was actually watching the Alabama-Texas A&M game. I don't know why he picked that game. Maybe it was peer pressure. But he was watching the game.
I don't give him the peer pressure.
So we're going to talk about that a little later. Because talk about...
Let's go into that.
No, you want to go into that now?
We'll come back to the NFL. All
right. Well, so I'm going to ask you the question. Because I want to direct these things in a way where, like, I really feel that we need to get involved in when it comes to college sports. So you finally saw Johnny Manziel for the first time, I'm assuming. I'm sure you've never seen him play before. Without giving me anything else, what was your initial impression of watching him play?
I felt like I was playing Madden, and I couldn't control the quarterback, and I'm watching him throw for touchdown after touchdown after touchdown and pick, and after a touchdown after a touchdown.
Okay. So if you're looking at this shit, and you can see that he's not on the taller side and he's not really that built. So you're going to just shit. If you're an NFL GM, is this a guy that's on your radar if you need a quarterback?
Possibly.
Possibly? Do you feel you would have to build an offense tailored towards him in particular, though, if he went after him?
I think if you're a team that needs a quarterback like right now, I think what Cleveland's strategy is, if we go 0-16 or 1-15, Johnny Manziel is playing for us next year.
Well, let me cut you right there. See, this is why I wish you watched more college sports. Johnny Manziel won't even take it in the top 10 of quarterbacks in next year's draft class. He might be in the top 15. Again, I might be overstating that, but he's not the first quarterback taking the draft. I'll say that much right now. That's a given. But you like what you saw then. So you can see him running an offense in the NFL, which is saying, though.
What I saw of him, I watched the second half of the game. He seems like he's a very dynamic type of quarterback. He's very, very, very pass happy. Texas A&M really didn't have much of a running game. I think that right now, that was probably one of the most exciting football games. Remind me of like a little bit of like high school football. Remember how you always used to have your breath was being held on every pass type of attitude? That's what that was. But like we've talked about earlier in the week, Alabama is the closest thing to a pro team in college you're going to get.
Now, this is the first time you've seen Alabama play, I'm assuming, right?
Second time. I watched
them
play last year, too.
What game you watched last year?
Notre Dame game.
Oh, okay. Now, listen. If you're not familiar with college sports, Alabama is pretty much the closest thing to a dynasty we have in sports going on right now. Now, you saw them play this past weekend. What were your thoughts about Alabama's team?
Controlled. I thought Nick Saban is. You can tell the discipline they have. Not a lot of penalties from them.
Were you impressed with the defense, which is Nick Saban's specialty?
Yeah.
Were you impressed, even though they gave up 42 points?
In college football, that's.
Well, but this is a team that usually gives up no more than, like, 10. I mean, so, you got to understand, there was a build-up to this game. Like, this was supposed to be Nick Saban's revenge against Johnny Manziel. They won the game, but they won 49-42, which is, like, the complete opposite of what Nick Saban wants. I mean, so he really got his revenge. Like, if you're thinking it from that standpoint, and I know you don't follow it, but if you're thinking it from that standpoint, you feel like Bill Belichick. Ready and slip. Nick Saban, do you believe he would have passed revenge worthy? That he won by 7 in a shootout?
The interception that Manziel threw ended up being the cost of playing the game, when you look at the final score.
So you're saying that. By the way, the last touchdown Manziel threw was a $5 million swing in the betting line. Just figured I'd throw that out there.
You have a problem.
Hey, listen, I'm not the one that was sending my name for free, all right? You know? Anyway.
Moving forward, 760-230-46 if you want to punch Jose in the mouth.
Listen, I just called it how I see it, all right? Right now, listen, that was the best test Alabama was going to get this year as far as competition, that they're going to win the title again this year.
I agree with that. I agree with that. Let's jump back into the NFL for a minute, shall we?
Really? All right.
I think we need to discuss the 800-pound elephant in the room.
I'm not talking about Eli Manning.
No, I think we started talking about the Patriots when we sort of never got to really talk about the Jets and the Giants, but you know, let's really quickly get it done with.
Not really worth talking about, though. Is it not really worth my...
Well, no, the Jets are not worth talking about. It's like, you know,
but they got a win at least.
Well, listen, they played the Patriots 13-10, and...
They look more competitive than the Jets have.
I gotta tell you, Geno Smith is not that bad.
No, listen, everything I heard about this guy was that he needed to sit down a year. He needed to be behind someone that, you know, he could learn from. I'm telling you, I've been watching the kid play. There is nothing that tells me that this is over his head. Like, he just seems like he's fine. There doesn't seem to be any issue with Geno Smith at this moment. I mean, I don't know about you, but I mean, when I start hearing that guys shouldn't be playing because they're probably not ready to play, and I see what Geno Smith has done, I don't think he's overwhelmed. I think he's quite comfortable in the situation. Right off the bat, if you're a Jets fan, you're thinking that's a win because you probably don't feel the same way about Mark Sanchez. So,
my question to you is, Sanchez would probably be eligible, they said, by week 6.
I think he will. I just don't know if the Jets are going to really put him out there to play. I think he will be ready to play.
My question to you is, what record do the Jets have to have for Mark Sanchez not to play?
I think it's at 500. If you're 500 with Geno Smith, why would you bring Mark Sanchez back in?
That's the number I'm sort of thinking about right now.
But you know what? That kind of defeats the purpose, because if you're 500 and you're in the season, but Geno Smith isn't necessarily playing great, but he's not the reason why you're losing games either, wouldn't you want the established guy coming back? It's kind of like a double-edged sword in a way. Like, we all know that they just don't want Mark Sanchez back anyway. I mean, so let's not beat around the bush here. You know they don't want Mark Sanchez back. I think the only way he comes back is if Geno Smith gets hurt, because then you got Matt Sims starting games. I don't know if they just want that either. So
I'm indifferent. I think obviously if they're 4-2, then you keep him in. 3-3, I think you keep him in.
I don't really, like I said, unless he gets Smith, unless he gets hurt, I don't think there's any reason why they would bring back Sanchez. You know, that's the only reason why you would bring him back is if Geno Smith got hurt. If he's not hurt, why would you bring him back? You did everything you could to try to get rid of him. I mean, you know, Rex Ryan basically put him out there for the Lions to knock out, and, you know, they still haven't shut him down completely. If they really wanted to, they could have just put him on IR for the season and be done with it. So, there's something to be said about that.
I'm trying to put my head around that question. And if you want to jump in, Jets fans, who want to join in on this conversation, if Mark is eligible to come back in week 6, 7, or 8, how many wins does Geno Smith need to stay the starter?
As long as he's healthy. I don't think it's a win total. I think as long as he's healthy. He's healthy. He's going to play.
Okay, I think that's fair. Right now, we actually have a caller. We have the host of Talking Sports with Mike T every Monday afternoon. I'm sorry, Mike Tramatazzi. Michael, good evening.
Hello.
Hello. So, Mike, I'll ask you the question. How many wins do the Jets need to have to keep Geno Smith as a starter when Mark Sanchez is eligible to come back?
Well, I don't care when Mark Sanchez is eligible to come back. He's not the quarterback. I mean, if you're sitting there and he comes back in week 10 and you're, you know, 3-7 or, you know, 4-6, A, is it worth it? B, what would be the point? I mean, Geno's going to be playing this many games. He's obviously the guy that you think is going to be your future quarterback. Just for the sake of the franchise, wouldn't it make more sense to just leave Geno where he is? I mean, who's going to take... It's not like the Browns and Brandon Whedon, where, you know, forget about Brandon Whedon, Trent Richardson, who knows what the Browns are doing, but the Chad Zinski was raising today that Brandon Whedon doesn't have a guaranteed hold on his job, and he's a second-year player. So clearly the Browns don't think he's their franchise quarterback, but the Jets, from everything they tell you, they think they at least need to find out if he's that guy. So to me, it makes no sense. I don't care if Sanchez comes back tomorrow. He's not playing.
I agree with that, Solomon. You know, getting to the Browns, if I was going back to the Jets, the thing with Brandon Whedon is that he's an older quarterback. He has Chris Winkie disease, where he got drafted at the age of 28, and that's the issue with him. That any team that was going to get him, you know, was going to have this issue come up real fast. But, again, I agree with you about the whole Jets situation. Let me ask you this, though. If you were winning the Jets, wouldn't it have behooved you to maybe think, you know what, our team isn't going to be good this year, so maybe we should think into this year's draft class, where you got a guy like Teddy Bridgewater who might be right there for us to take?
Listen,
wouldn't that have been the better thing to do than to draft a quarterback last year?
Oh, listen, I don't even think Geno Smith was the best quarterback in his own draft class, and this was a terrible draft class. I think Manuel is clearly the better quarterback. He was the better quarterback in an actual offense in college when he was healthy. His first couple years he was hurt. Last year he stayed relatively healthy. And there's a reason why the Bills took him in the first round and Geno was left in the second round, and then everybody else went after him. Next year's class is even better. Obviously Bridgewater. You know, you're interested to see what Braxton Miller, Devin Gardner, those types of guys can be. So honestly, if you were to stack them up right now, and yeah, Devin Gardner probably isn't, but it's pretty darn close considering what Gardner can do on a football field. Is probably he's a better athlete than Geno is. But Braxton Miller's better than him, and obviously Teddy Bridgewater's better than him. You're not even talking about Carr out in Fresno State or any of these other quote unquote mid level quarterbacks that are just as good as Geno. So no, I wouldn't have drafted Geno Smith. Personally, I would have taken Eddie Lacy because they obviously need a running back. They could have gotten by with some journeyman quarterback for the year where everybody knows they're going after Bridgewater or Braxton Miller, some kind of quarterback. But to me, it was a waste of a draft pick. I don't like Geno Smith as a player. I didn't like him in West Virginia. He was a product of a gimmicky offense that once defenses actually figured out how to stop it, his numbers went down the tubes. He had what was that game against Baylor? 7 touchdowns, 8 touchdowns, some crazy number like that. And then he got blown out against Syracuse. He got blown out by Oklahoma. He got blown out in his bowl game. What else would Geno Smith, like, how higher could Geno Smith have gone to where he actually went? You know, and if Geno Smith came out in this draft class, he's probably the fourth quarterback. So, no, I don't, to me, it just did it wrong. To me, it's, you wait for Bridgewater, or you wait for a Braxton Miller.
Wrong.
So let me ask you this then. Let me ask you this. If you're in the Jets front office right now, is taking a quarterback in this draft, especially if you're in the top 3 or 4 picks, is that an option for you at this point, or like you have to take a quarterback and call the Geno Smith draft?
Listen, I think they're in a problem because you drafted him in the second round, so you seem to have owned. But if he's terrible and he's thrown 25 picks this year and 12 touchdowns and he's just terrible and he's under 50% completions and the team goes 3-13, yeah, I would draft Teddy Bridgewater in a second. If Geno's, 15 touchdowns, 19 picks, and like 53%, and the team goes, 5-11, then I think maybe you have to stick with them and see if you can get a Marquise Lee or a Jeremy Gallen, some kind of receiver that can actually catch the ball, and see where it goes. Then you need to start supplying him with weapons. Look at what the Colts did. Obviously, Andrew Luck is their marquee guy. We all knew that. But then you get Fleener, Allen, you had Vic Ballard till he got hurt. Now you've got Trevor Richardson. But T.Y. Hilton came from that draft class. Fleener, Allen, those are all in the same draft class. So they obviously decided, well, we're going with Andrew Luck. Reggie Wayne's probably not going to be here more than three more years. We have to put players around him. They got Donnie Avery last year to off the free agent wire, but Hilton's a stud. Ballard was really good last year. Fleener's good. Allen's good. That's what you have to do. You have to take your young quarterback when you decide that's my guy, and you have to put people around him. It's the only way he can you can truly measure whether or not he can succeed. I mean, how much can you really look at Geno Smith and say, okay, he's throwing to Santonio Holmes on one leg, he's throwing to Clyde Gates, Jeremy Curley, and Stephen Hill as his other three wide receivers. He's got the ghost of Kellen Winslow at tight end, and he's got a mismatch of Chris Ivory. The ghost is still a soldier, though. Let's all remember that.
He's
a soldier.
So let me ask you this real fast, then. Just real quick, and then we might have to move on. But is Rex Ryan the coach here next year?
Is Rex the coach? No. No. No way. I don't see any way outside of this team making the playoffs that he keeps his job. I don't think
who
he's a good tie
there? If, who would you want to see there?
Who do I want to see there, coach? You know, obviously the next guy off the tree is probably going to be a I don't think the Jets would go defense this time. You know, so that'll knock out Fangio out in San Francisco. But obviously then I think you start looking at Kyle Shanahan. You start looking at Bevel out in Seattle. You start looking at the offensive guys. I think you start looking at Carmichael in New Orleans. So, you know,
any
those,
college
those
guys
are the guys
you would look
that,
at?
What was that?
Any college coaches you would look at, or you don't want to even go that route?
I don't know if they would go a college coach. I mean, if you really like Geno, you could always go with the Augustin out in West Virginia. I mean, the Eagles did take Chip Kelly out. So, you know, there is that trend to taking the high-flying college coach. You know, but who is it outside? Maybe Sumlin. Is Kevin Sumlin really going to leave A&M after 2 years? Maybe if he wins 10 games and gets to a BCS Bowl, maybe. But to me, is Kevin Sumlin and Daryl Bevel that different? Or that is Sumlin that much better than Bevel? I mean, Bevel's coaching the West Coast offense. He's got an athletic quarterback. He's got average weapons outside of Marshawn Lynch. I mean, and that guy's got a offense that he knows how to put them in. It's a pretty much a West Coast offense. So that's pretty much what they run. He can even work with Marty Morningwig if they want to keep Marty Morningwig as the OC. I don't know. The Jets seem to love to tell their management people who to keep and what to take. So they may hire a coach and say, you're keeping Marty Morningwig. So that could happen. I think they go coordinator, and I think it's going to be an offensive coordinator. I don't think after Rex they can really sell people on a Vic Fangio and really tell them that this guy's better than Rex Ryan, because Rex is a pretty good defensive coach. So I think they would have to go in a different alley. Like I said, Bevel, Carmichael, those are the guys you're going to hear a lot of because they're potent offenses, and they've been proven. They're not flash in the pan. They're proven offenses. They're proven coaches. They're proven guys. So,
I have a different question. I think you'll find this one funny. Do you think that Rex Ryan would be kept on as a defensive coordinator?
No. That would be really, really weird.
You know what? That's only happened once, as far as I remember, when Urban Meyer took over Ohio State. I think Luke Fickle was coaching the team, and then he took his demotion from being the head coach to, like, the defensive coordinator, whatever the hell he was over there. But, you know, that could happen in college. I can't see that happening in the pros.
Can you imagine as the head coach, the new head coach comes in and says, listen, the Jack Daniels is in the bottom drawer. I'll be over there.
I mean, honestly, you know what's funny, though, is I almost feel like Rex would entertain it because it's not like he pays attention to the offense now as the head coach. So.
This is very true.
Well, the real reason why he still wants Mark Sanchez on the field at this point is because he can't afford to change his tattoo on his arm. So that's the real of it. Real quick, Mike. Let's kind of ask you about the Giants in this past weekend with the Denver Broncos. A lot of turnovers, a lot of points scored on them. Are the Giants really that bad? Are the Broncos really this good? Or is it just a timing issue with the Giants? Just these turnovers are the most unopportune turnovers, and the biggest fluky turnovers, having things someone have the ball bounce off a shoulder, out of a foot. What do you think?
I have no idea, because if 10 turnovers in 2 games is a lot. That's a lot. It's usually fluky. The one interception in the first half was bad because it looked like him and Nix read something different. Nix cut inside, and Eli obviously threw it towards the post, or towards the corner, and Nix ran the post. But outside of that, the one other interception hit off the guy's foot and bounced right up in the air. The other two were in garbage time where he's just heaving the ball, trying to make plays. So those, you can't throw them out because they do count, but you can kind of maybe put them in a different spot and say, okay, those aren't game action. He's forcing it, trying to make a play down 18 or whatever they were down. But I would have serious concerns about their offensive line. I think your two best offensive linemen right now are Pugh and Beattie at tackles. And outside of that, I think the middle of the offensive line has a real problem. Snead looks old and beat up. He just looks like a guy that doesn't have that pump anymore. And, that's what happens. Even Pro Bowl, old pro players get old and they start to deteriorate and they don't play as well. Booth and Boss, it was their first game with Boss back, so maybe you can take that with a grain of salt. But it's there's serious questions there. They didn't run the ball well. I think Denver really mauled them up the middle, especially that they mauled that offensive line. There were a couple plays where the Vickers specifically was there before the ball hander, Jacobs could even get going. There wasn't enough space for David Wilson. I thought going into the game that it was going to have to be one of those passing opens up running lanes where they're passing it so well that they would open up lanes to run because Denver would be so worried about their pass. It didn't happen. The red zone futility is a big problem because this is not 2 or 3 times inside the red zone where they're settling for field goals, and it bit them in that game. That was a game they should have been winning at the half, that they were losing because they were settling for field goals. Same thing happened in Dallas. You lose by 6, but you had a 4-point swing there because Mundy got tackled at the 1-yard line, and they can't punch it in from 1 yard. Those are problems. Those are all serious, actual football problems, and I have to see a little bit more to see if they actually know how to correct them this year or if that's going to be their Achilles heel this year. The defense, I think, is playing okay. The run defense is pretty good. For the most part, they let Moreno go and leak out a couple times for touchdowns, specifically not setting the edge with the rush, and Kiwanuka specifically let Moreno get around him, and then he was down the sidelines. I don't know if you can judge the pass rush. I don't know if you can judge the pass rush until Pierre Paul's 100%, because then you can fully rotate them and keep them in. He's really not playing a lot. He didn't play a lot on Sunday. He played a lot in Dallas, but not in against Denver. They have to work the kid more in. I think the D tackles are playing well. Jenkins forced the fumble. Patterson and Joseph and Rogers are playing pretty well against the run. They've been pretty decent against the run. So I'd be more worried about the line, offensive line, specifically the 3 guys in the middle, and whether or not they're going to be able to get this running game going and their red zone efficiency. The next 2 weeks are pretty good, though. Kansas City's a good team, but they're not unbeatable. And Carolina's pretty bad. But you would hope, if you're looking to get yourself on track, this is a good 2 weeks before you have to face the Eagles at home in 3 weeks. So, you're the Giants. I don't know if you're anything less than 2-2, if this season's going anywhere. I think to continue the season where you want it to go, I think you have to be 2-2 going into that Philly game.
Mike, I'm assuming that you're back on this upcoming Monday. What do you have coming up on the show?
On Monday, we're going to be going over what's left of the baseball season, because I always say I'm not going to talk baseball, and then I get roped into talking baseball. But we're going to try and mix in all that. Obviously, I think we'll have a clearer picture of what the playoff seeds or positions are going to look like going on Monday, since it's the last week of the season. And then, obviously, you've got week three of the NFL, whether or not the Giants and Jets can, improve off of last week is a big key. Also, there's some big games there for big teams. How good are the Chiefs? They obviously play Thursday night and tomorrow night against Andy Reid Andy Reid going back to Philly to face Chip Kelly. That's a big game for them. I think a 3-0 start for them and surpassing last year's win total really makes a statement that they're a team that can challenge for one of those wild card spots. I'm stupid and thought that the Browns could challenge for one. Obviously they can't now unless they totally go crazy. But I think what you're seeing in the AFC Central is the Bengals, with their win on Monday night, showing you they have that ability that they didn't show you against the Bears in blowing a double-digit lead at the half. Against the Steelers, a division game on Monday Night Football in front of a national audience, 15 million people watched that game on Monday night. They showed you that all the kids they have are slowly making that transition to figuring out how to win those games. And I think they're going to win that division. I think a lot of people picked them in the preseason to win that division. Just the holes in Denver, in Baltimore, and the holes in Pittsburgh. That's 2 weeks in a row. Baltimore did not look good. They got away with one because the Browns were so bad on Sunday. But you have serious questions about those other three teams in that division. The Bengals right now look like the best team in that division. So, obviously as the weeks move on, you get clearer and clearer pictures of what all these teams look like. But you're coming up to that first barometer, that first quarter mark. And I think if any team can have 3 wins or even 4 wins going into that week 5, you start to think, hey, we can have a pretty good season.
Mike, we'll talk to you. We'll talk to you on Monday. Every Monday afternoon, 12:30. I believe back to 1:30 now, right? 1 hour?
Yeah, 12:30 to 1:30. So double me. I don't know if that's going to drop the viewers because they're like, I can't do this for an hour. Or it may explode it into, record proportions. I'm not sure. So.
We'll talk to you on Monday, Mike.
Take care, Mike.
See you guys.
The ever-dangerous Mike Tramatazzi. Every Monday here on the Back Sports Page Radio Network. You know what time it is right now?
What time is it?
It is time for the Monday Morning Hangover Fantasy Football Report, which is brought to you by Uppy Custom Creations. They bring fame to your name. Go to uppycustomcreations.net for all your promotional product needs. Again, they bring fame to your name. That's Uppy Custom Creations. Let's take it over to Anthony and the boys from Monday Morning Hangover for the Fantasy Football Update.
This is Anthony Mulvihill, host of the Monday Morning Hangover Fantasy Football Podcast, which airs every Thursday night at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time and is brought to you by BackSportsPage.com. I'm here to give you the fantasy follow-up, a segment I will be doing every week from now on for Week 2 and to look ahead to your Week 3 matchup. So listen up in order to win this weekend's games. First up, lots of injuries to follow on. Maurice Jones-Drew, ankle sprain, looks like it's going to come down to a game-time decision. Whether or not he suits up, you cannot start MJD this weekend in an impossible matchup at Seattle and that crowd which has shut down the high-powered 49ers this past weekend. Even if it means starting a New York Jets player, find a better option at all costs. Ray Rice won't be practicing all week to rest his hip flexor strain. Like MJD, he'll be day-to-day, but unlike MJD, Ray Rice has a history of playing through pain. It's a situation you need to monitor, but I really like Ray Rice this weekend against an overrated Texans defense, assuming, of course, that he plays. The Reggie Bush we all know, he's back. After leaving the game with a knee injury, Reggie dodged a bullet with a negative MRI, which gives him a chance to play against Washington. While I'm not so optimistic on his chances of playing this weekend, I am all in on Joik Bell as a top 5 must-start running back this week, and he holds value all season long, even when Bush is healthy. Get him in your lineups. Now, concussions played a big part of the week, and Eddie Lacy was a victim after only one carry, which opened the door for a career day from James Starks. Green Bay could keep Lacy rested throughout their Week 4 bye, so healthy Starks becomes a nice running back 2 option in the upcoming weeks. Andre Johnson suffered the same fate as Lacy and had to leave the game early, leading to a breakout performance from rookie DeAndre Hopkins. Johnson has responded well, should be back for Week 3, which means I'm not going to be one of the people rushing to pick up Hopkins off the waiver wire this week. Falcons running back Steven Jackson looks like he'll be out 2 to 4 weeks with a thigh issue. Now 30 years old with a history of these types of injuries, expect him to be out and sidelined for 4 weeks, and Jaquizz Rodgers needs to be added in all formats, especially in PPR. I really like him going forward. My start of the week, the entire Kansas City Chiefs offense. Andy Reid will be going against a very porous Philly defense in which he knows the entire personnel. Jamaal Charles and Dwayne Bowe are must-starts in any league, but I also like Donnie Avery and Alex Smith this week, especially in deeper leagues. My bench of the week, after a very slow start, Stephen Ridley needs to be on your fantasy bench. As the only option on this depleted offense, I think Ridley has the most to gain when Rob Gronkowski returns. The attention will be taking off the running game. I like Ridley as a buy low for the rest of the season, but you better try to find a better option as he takes on the number one run defense from last year in the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. This is Anthony Mulvihill with your Week 2 Fantasy Follow-Up, brought to you by BackSportsPage.com and the Monday Morning Hangover Fantasy Football Podcast, airing on Thursday night at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Make sure to tune in. Follow us on Facebook to send us all your questions. Thanks for listening, and best of luck in your games this weekend. Take it to the house.
I got to do something. That was awesome.
That was. Why don't we do things like that?
Because people just can't tolerate you for a short amount of time. They need you out in lengths.
Despite the truth of that statement, we should do things like this. Like, we could talk about food places or, like, movies.
Even though you're here for the podcast.
That's not true. I got class. I got other places, too.
Jesus.
It's like I'm all the people you hang out with.
One, Randy.
Anyway, that was good.
Thank you,
Oh, God, I wish I could have said something about that. Now I'll just let that go. Anyway, that was good, though. That was great. That was a lot of good information there.
Well, I think it's appropriate, since we've just talked about fantasy football, we should actually discuss how we did in fantasy football. We have a few minutes left here. We have about 19 minutes left. We still have to talk about a couple things with the NHL, a couple things with the NBA. So let's get through the fantasy football.
Okay, I'll do mine quick. I lost 4 games. One team really sucked. The other team lost by 5. There's really nothing I can add to that. I guess this is enough. Make sure you really put a lot of thought and effort into who you want to start for each week, because that's the difference between losing the game by 30 points or possibly winning the game by 1 point. That's all I got to say.
I won both leagues this week. The Back Sports Fantasy League, which I think is the most important league in all of fantasy football. I'm sorry you couldn't get on that.
I'm not in it, so it's that important.
I am Pete Stillman from the Seth and Strong Show, 145.35 to 109.10.
He's decimal points. I can't send him decimal points.
Christmas for me, because I'm very excited. We're doing the NFL and NBA packages here. You know, to watch pretty much everything that's going on. I'm going to ask you off the top of your head.
Yeah.
Can you give me the top 8 in the Eastern Conference this year?
No. It's way too early for that nonsense. That's fine.
Preseason.
Why are you doing this? Really?
And because I'm an NBA guy.
You're the NBA guy. You know, I can't say what I want to do. You know what? I'll be honest with you. You ask me right now, I couldn't even tell you who are the 8 teams in the NBA Eastern Conference right now. I couldn't even tell you 8 teams, except for the Nets and the Knicks. So let me go to ESPN. I'm chilling. Let me look at
the sports.
Oh, God. And let me go into the teams real fast or the standings, because as we all know, what I say now on September 18th, means a hill of beans on a...
Well, no, remember, I made this prediction last year. I was a little off.
Shut up.
Only one team was not in the playoffs. I didn't get the order right, but only one team was not in the playoffs, but I said...
You did not have Atlanta in the playoffs. You made fun of them. I don't want to hear it.
They were eighth last year.
I want the recording.
That's fine. I have it.
I want to hear this. I'm like a KFK lawyer. I want to see this. I want to see the weapon. All right. Let's see. All right. Right now, I'm looking at last year's playoff teams. I think we can probably assume that Milwaukee will drop out and Boston will drop out from the top 8.
So who's getting those last 2 spots? I guess that's the question. So I think the first 6 are going to be. The first 6 are going to stay the same. Miami's going to be 1. This is my prediction. Miami 1. Indiana or Chicago 2. I think whoever's not number 2 is going to be number 3. I think Brooklyn's going to be number 4. I think the Knicks are number 5. And then from there, you start having conversations of who's going to be those last 3 spots. I think you can put Washington in, because Washington's got John Wall. They've really revamped their team to a point where they have a lot of...
I want to see it first. I'm not picking Washington to jack crap until they actually
make
the playoffs.
Every time you pick Washington,
they
do something good.
No, I don't
want to
hear it. You know what? I want to give you a little bit of a shocker here. Even though I don't like any move that they made, and I have no reason for picking them, Detroit's going to take one of these spots. And you know why? Because they have Andrew Drummond and they have Blake Monroe. And that's still better than a lot of other teams from courts. So I'm going to say Detroit's going to sneak in. The other team that's going to sneak in? I don't say Cleveland. Because why not at this point? Why not? You got... one of the best point guards in the league. They had the number one pick in the league last year, who's a really good player, Anthony Bennett. So, yeah, Washington's going to be horrible. Milwaukee's not going to be good.
Can I ask you a question, though? Do you think Atlanta can make it back in, even though they lost?
I think Atlanta's going to stay there.
They lose Devin Harris, they lose Josh Smith. They lost a lot of guys.
If they drop out, then maybe we can possibly have a discussion about Washington. But again, as Tony Trauma from Futurama said, I'm from Jamaica, so you got to show me, because I'm from the show me state. I know I messed up that line. But you know what I'm saying, though. I am not going to believe that Washington is ever going to be a legitimate team to compete in the playoffs. So they actually get in one
okay.
year.
We're saying, I think Atlanta still has a chance of making it in. I'm not saying that.
I think they'll make it.
Okay, so fine. You're putting Atlanta in the last 2 spots. Out of these teams, Orlando, Charlotte, Cleveland, Washington, Detroit.
Detroit and Cleveland.
Okay, you're going
to go I'm going to say Cleveland.
You're going to think I'm crazy for saying this.
I think you're crazy for picking Brooklyn to be fourth.
Okay. That's
another story entirely.
I think if I keep Atlanta in there, I'm putting Washington in, and guess who else I'm putting in?
Put Charlotte in, aren't you?
Yeah, I am.
Yeah. You are quite the
tool. I don't like the moves that Detroit made. They're Brandon Jennings and Josh Smith. And
I said that right off the bat. I didn't like their moves. But you know what? They still got Andrew Drummond, who's been a beast in the summer league, and they got Greg Monroe.
I'll be honest with you. I can see that with the exception of Denver, 7 of those 8 teams in the West staying where exactly where they are. The order's going to be changed up a little bit, but I can't. I think Denver may have lost too much. With losing George Karl and losing...
Last year, we picked Minnesota to make the playoffs as our sleeper team. And then I picked Golden State as my sleeper team, and they actually performed quite well. I'm going to stick with that. I'm going to say Minnesota again. There's just something about that. And again, they're like Washington. I have no reason to pick them, but I just have more faith in them than I do in Washington. I think you're right. about Denver. But listen, that's not going to be the team that doesn't make it. They're going to still make the playoffs.
You think the Lakers?
No, Houston.
Really? You think that there's...
I think Houston, that's going to blow up. I am not buying that at all. I am not buying that team. You know why? They've been trying to get rid of Jerry Lynn forever, but then the Olajuwon is telling people today, by the way, I'm thanking Randy for making me aware of this, that Olajuwon thinks that the Lynn-Howard dynamic will be unstoppable.
Which in reality, that's James Harden's team. That's pretty much...
Where's James Harden in that conversation? Now, if you would have said Harden and Olajuwon, I'd buy that.
Harden and Howard, yeah.
They're trying to get rid of Jeremy Lin in Houston. Don't tell me that garbage.
My question to you, does this order stay the same? Is OKC still the best team in the West, number one, with a healthy Russell Westbrook back?
No, I'm gonna shock you with this. I think Memphis will make be the number one team in the West.
Really?
I think Memphis is gonna come. And I don't believe in that team normally. But that team, there's something about that team. I think that team is going to have a lot to prove, and I think they're going to race for the number one spot.
Memphis last in the league last year in 3-point shooting. They had no real guard play. It was all big men.
They're all defense. It's defense for that team. I have a funny thing. Memphis is going to make the rise.
Okay.
Oklahoma is going to make a little bit of a drop, and because of what the Westbrook situation.
You think they're third?
I think they'll be second or third. Yeah.
San Antonio, or do you think they're finally it?
Until they miss it, I'm not ever going to go over there. I'm not saying they're going to be the second team.
I don't think they're ever going to miss it.
Last year, you were all about them being out. Not out, but you said that they were a drag. And they made it to the finals.
Listen, they're the number two seed last year.
But you didn't like them. You didn't know enough of them last year.
There's nothing. I know Popovich is a smart coach. And Pop, you trust. I think that's the way you have to put
it. I don't even mind saying that garbage either, but my point
well,
is...
Well, he had an awful playoffs. Popovich had an awful playoffs.
He went to the finals!
Just some of the decisions he was making...
Listen. You went there now. You went there, so now you're going to catch the wrath. You go to the finals, I don't care what you did in the playoffs as far as game-by-game managers. Because you see so much when you're talking about X's and O's. You know what? It doesn't matter. They went to the finals. The only reason why they didn't win the title last year is because Kawhi Leonard couldn't make a free throw in less than 5 seconds. That's the only thing that is stopping San Antonio from being considered the greatest basketball team of this generation. You know why LeBron James is being held as the greatest basketball player of all time?
Where do the Clippers land? Third or fourth? In this?
They're going to drop.
Clippers?
I think they're going to drop.
Give me an order. Give me an order.
If I ever take a look at this right now, this is what I'm going to say right now. And this is just right off the top, you know, like, and I'm not taking into account division because I only have it in order for the playoff seed. Memphis will be one. I think Golden State will be two.
Okay.
Oklahoma City 3, San Antonio 4. I think the Lakers will be 5.
I
think the Lakers are going to be a lot better than people are going to go. I think they got rid of a lot of the garbage that went on last year.
I agree with you. I agree with you to a point with that. Here's my opinion about the Los Angeles Lakers real quick. They lose Meta World Peace, which I don't think is a real big loss. Obviously,
I think that is a big loss for them, but I think they're going to still be better, but that is a loss for them.
I think that you know, you lose Dwight Howard, which was a very big distraction for them last year, and Pau Gasol is not the most physical power forward in the NBA. Obviously, he's very finesse. As soon as you 10 boards, but those rebounds he gets you are going to be, long rebounds. Chris Kamen, the bang bodies in there, is going to be very helpful to them. It gives them a different type of dimension that they had compared to last year. I think the Lakers are going to be good, but I don't see them being past the sixth seed. Here's my order.
By the way, we're spending way too much time on this.
Okay.
We'll finish this out.
Okay, I'm going to stick with OKC being one. I'm putting Memphis up in that third spot and putting the Clippers 2 and putting San Antonio 4. And then Golden State, Lakers, Houston, and then none of those teams are below there really make me feel like that. Maybe.
And I'm putting Minnesota in because I'm taking on
you. And I'm taking Denver out.
I'm just going to say this and then we'll move on because we're only going to have like 5 minutes to go. I think in basketball, in a lot of sports. But the thing is, even basketball, when you have a lot of change and you were a good team the year before, that doesn't translate well normally. So I that's why I have issues with Houston. I have recent issues with Los Angeles Clippers. That's my only thing. That's the same issue I have with Brooklyn. I know everyone is saying, oh, that's the best lineup in the NBA. Again, we're not playing NBA 2K. We're not playing NBA Live. It doesn't matter if they're great on paper or video game. They actually have to play. And that team that Brooklyn brought in from Boston was the seventh seed in the playoffs last year, and they barely got in. So, but we have time to discuss that and yell at each other at a later day. So,
I think we should try and see how many people are out there listening and see if we can make this happen. I got a copy of an extra copy of the Matthew Berry Fantasy Football book.
Excellent. I'm trying to get a copy.
Okay. We should have a little bit of a contest here, huh? Do you want to ask a trivia question? Do you want to push out the spot here?
Oh, God. I guess why not?
Make it feasible for them. Don't make it too hard, but don't make it too easy.
Oh, man. I guess we should have it as a fantasy question then?
We can do it. We can do it in either fantasy or we can do talk about something from the NFL on Sunday.
All right. You know what? I'll have to look it up, but maybe we can put it as a fantasy. Eli Manning has thrown 7 interceptions in the first 2 weeks of the season.
Really?
What other quarterbacks have done that? I think that's a knowledge or you're paying attention. But it's not too hard. You got Google, you'll be able to figure it out. But so that's my question. Besides Eli Manning, any quarterbacks who have thrown 7 interceptions within the first 2 weeks of the NFL season?
And here's what we can do since we have 3 minutes left. It's 760-283-0846. 760-283-0846. If you want to answer the question and you're listening to this on our pre-record, if you download the show when we're not live, we'll have this going until Saturday.
I guess they can get us on Facebook?
Get us on Facebook. Go to Real Sports Talk Radio on Facebook. Leave the answer to the question there. And I guess maybe the first person who answers it correctly, or first or second, we'll try and take care of you. But just go on to our Facebook page and answer the question.
And obviously there's multiple ones, so basically we'll even take one. If you can't find both, we'll take one, but just make sure you have the date. If you can find the date that it happened, because we're going to have to verify, obviously, if the answer is correct or not. So just don't give us a name. Give us the date as well, what's the game.
I was going to throw another question out there.
Oh, what's the other question?
My other question was, the Giants are officially 0-2. When was the last time a team started 0-2 and won the Super Bowl?
You want to use that one, too, or you want to throw both?
It doesn't matter. You can both. So you can answer both questions.
All right, answer both questions. Give us one for the quarterback, the Eli Manning question, and then, answer the latest one, the most recent one. You know the answer to that one?
I do know the question.
Okay, that's good. All right. So I'm looking at
the... That's actually a really good question.
That is actually good. I could actually know the answer to that question, but I'm actually looking up the answer to my question. But, listen to us on Facebook, guys. And, we get it right. We're going to look at the timestamp. And then,
we'll take it from there. Real quick, let's finish up strong here in the final minute and a half. Real Sports Talk Radio is on Facebook. We're on Twitter, AndyRioze15, RandyBSP. Also, check out Monday Morning Hangover, which airs every Thursday from 7 to 8, exclusively here on the Back Sports Page Radio Network. It's on every Tuesday from 7 to 8 o'clock. Kind of Adventures with Ryan Stern every Sunday from now. I think he is now officially 12 to 1 because he wants to lead right up to the NFL games. Which is cool, and Talking Sports with Mike Pete every Monday from 12:30 to 1:30. And also, big news, a little shout-out for our friends over at the Lunar Sports Group. Brandon Myers of the New York Giants will be hosting his first annual bowling event for his charity. I'll have more details next week. Good possibility of you and I, my friend, will be there live.
So.
And if the Giants are 0-4 by that point, Jose's going to get his ass because he's going to say something stupid. So, with that being said, for the angry one, Jose Padilla, I am Randy Zelia, Real Sports Talk Metro Radio, live next week, same bad time, same bad channel, 7 p.m. Eastern Time. Good night, everyone.
Take care.
Take care, people.